May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. This morning, before I came over to the church, I had to look in the mirror and make sure I didn't have dark circles under my eyes because, quite frankly, I'm a little tired. The past few weeks have been a whirlwind. We started with 2 weeks of compassion camp, one here at Calvary, and then again at the Bethany House shelter over in Bond Hill. And then that was followed by a trip down to Asheville, North Carolina. Myself and two other adults from the diocese took about a dozen middle and high school students down for a service mission trip to a place called the Asheville Youth Mission Co. So it was a trip that I will always remember, but one of the memories that I hope I will soon repress is every night we were sleeping on these like squeaky foam air mattresses on the bed or on the ground of this Presbyterian church floor. And just needless to say, I'm a little tired, but it's all good. I'm happy to be back, and we had an incredible trip. It was really the stuff that good memories and good faith formation are made of. Every day, we traveled with the youth to different work sites or mission experiences, and the youth were able to learn about poverty and food insecurity and homelessness from a different vantage point every day, a different organization working to address these issues. And the youth were they just absorbed everything. They were very responsive to the experience. And by the end of the week, they were starting to ask questions about abundance and scarcity and why some have so little when others have so much. And every night we ended with a devotion, and the college interns who helped to run the program would do a godly play story, which is, for those who are familiar, it's kind of a Montessori-style story where the youth would gather around and use little wooden pieces to tell one of the stories of the Bible. And when we heard the story of the loaves and the fish, it just seemed like things started to come together for the kids. So on our first day, on Monday, we went to a warehouse that was rented by a nonprofit called Bounty and Soul down in North Carolina. And the mission of Bounty and Soul is to rescue food, mostly produce, from places like Trader Joe's or Aldi that would otherwise go to waste, and to take that food and repurpose it and send it to a market where anyone could come and shop. There was no eligibility requirements, but anyone could come to that market and get produce. So when we arrived, the youth were really curious what we were going to be doing, and they said, "Oh, you're going to be shucking corn." And many of them had never done that. And I realized, "Oh, you actually have to teach them like what that is and what that means." And they just kind of looked at the ears of corn like and they were pulling leaf by leaf, and I was like, okay, this is gonna take a while. So we had one of our instructors show us, you know, the right technique of breaking the stalk and taking the little silky, what's it called? Silk, and pulling it apart. And so eventually they got the hang of it, and the corn was, to be honest, a little past its prime. Some of the husks were a little dry, or the corn might have had some brown spots on it. But the folks who ran the organization said some people who are working with a low, you know, low income would be really happy to cut away the brown spot or to make a soup out of this corn or to transform it in some way to feed their families. So the main assumption at Bounty and Soul was that all of us, you know, it started with one woman who just said, "I saw some, you know, cantaloupes in the dumpster at Whole Foods that looked pretty good." And she just, on her own, just started to collect food, and eventually it turned into this massive operation. So there's this idea that all of us in some way have the power to interrupt these cycles or these big systems that, like food waste, that can seem at first sort of insurmountable. And much of the produce that we worked with at Bounty and Soul was, as you can imagine, a little misshapen, or a little squishy in part, or a little too small. But what this reminded me of as we shucked all these ears of corn was that this is much the same way that God responds to us. You know, God sees us in our imperfection. God knows that we have, you know, we can be misshapen or have little spots at times. But at the end of the day, God works through our lives to create something new and to teach us that everything we are and everything we will be and everything we come from is good and dignified. So the core conviction at Bounty and Soul is that all things are redeemable if we can have eyes to see it, and that even literally the bottom of the barrel, the stuff from the bottom of the barrel, can contain something holy if we're willing to dig through and get to it. So that was day one, that was Monday. And the next day, Tuesday, we went to a place called Haywood Street. Haywood Street is what is called a missional congregation of the Methodist Church. And their mission is to serve people who are living on the street who are chronically homeless. And they have a few community meals every week that draw each meal in regular time draws about 300 people, but during summer they're seeing about 500 people at any given meal. So it's a big operation. But what we noticed when we walked in, it's an old church with a room about this size, and they have round tables, and our job for the day was to, one of our jobs was to take fresh flowers that had been donated and put a vase of fresh flowers on each of the tables. Another job was every day their menu changes, and they make paper menus that they set on each table, and our youth were able to decorate some of those menus. And you know, one of the amazing things that kind of still is resonating with me is our youth. I said, what do you all think about this? And one of our young people said, I imagine that when you're homeless, you feel like you don't have a lot of control. But when you come and you sit down and you're able to order off a menu, rather than just kind of being told this is what we're having, I bet they feel a sense of more control. And I thought that was an amazing connection. And let me tell you, the menu was like mouthwatering. It was like lemon lavender grilled chicken that they were grilling out on a grill. Ribs, they had vegetarian options. They were making a watermelon gazpacho. Some of our kids got to use an immersion blender for the first time, which made me really nervous, but they enjoyed it. And it was just a pretty awesome experience. And one of the things, other things that's unique about their model is that they don't have what they call volunteers. They have people who come to serve as companions. So if you come in that capacity to help with the meal, to cook, to clean, it's almost a requirement that you would sit down and eat too. So it blurs this line between there's the haves and the have-nots, or the volunteers and the guests. Everyone is invited to sit at this restaurant style meal, to order off the menu, to be served. And it's just a really beautiful thing. So it struck me on that second night that there was this almost tension between the first and the second day. They're both addressing food insecurity and poverty, but at Bounty and Soul, the idea is that we're gonna save everything. We're gonna make sure that nothing goes to waste. But when we were at Haywood Street, a group of us were done with our work, and we were sitting at a table, and there was this burly tattooed guy who was like one of their sextons, and he said, where did you guys go yesterday? I said, oh, we went to Bounty and Soul, we were shucking corn. And he said, that's really cool. And here at Haywood Street, we don't use any leftovers. We don't use any produce that's round the bend. We make everything fresh and we order from, you know, local suppliers. And what he said is that homeless people are used to kind of getting the leftovers or the scraps, but they want people to know that they're making everything fresh from scratch. And he said he feels like that's a way that they can honor people. And also when they give them helpings of food, they're not saying like, you know, I'm just gonna give you a little bit to start. They're saying, how much do you want? And letting the guests decide, you know, even if it's 5 pieces of chicken or 3 pieces of pie, they realize, again, that's a way to have some agency and some dignity. So on that first day, the whole idea was don't let anything go to waste. And on the second day, it seemed to be this message of there's enough to go around and we're not gonna worry about, you know, if some gets thrown in the compost, it's okay. So I'm still kind of processing those two different models, but when I read this week's gospel, I thought about how Jesus always speaks to people in their own context or using an image that they can understand. So for a farmer, the image of a mustard seed would probably resonate. And for obviously for a baker, the idea of leaven in the bread would resonate. And it seems to me that if we're gonna build up God's kingdom, there's not gonna be a one size fits all approach. There's not gonna be, you know, we've gotta do it this way, but rather going to these different organizations showed us that there are lots of ways that you can contribute to building up God's reign. All of these organizations started with one idea, a small, you know, small idea, one person who saw a problem and worked to address it. And I think the parables, like the mustard seed in particular, are also this indication of you might not get it right, you know, first try, and there might be growing pains, but the idea is it's always better to start somewhere, even if you're starting small, than to feel like you can't address the problem at all. So these parables that use these diverse images, in the family service we talked about, if God was going to talk to you using the example that made the most sense to you, what would it be? So the kids said, oh, it would be a soccer parable, or it would be a parable about Spider-Man or whatever. But I think it's true that, you know, when Jesus speaks to us, he wants us to know and understand. So he's willing to say the same thing a lot of different ways to appeal to a lot of different people. Both organizations and all of the organizations we went to, but those two in particular, even though they did things really differently, they both seem to embody this idea that there's always enough, and that if we are wise, we're not gonna be living in a scarcity model. Rather, we can live in a abundance reality. So my charge to you this morning is that next time you shuck an ear of corn, and by the way, all the kids were delighted when I said, don't worry, we're not having corn for dinner. They were so done with corn. But my charge to you this morning is that the next time you shuck an ear of corn that's past its prime or cut a moldy spot off of a strawberry, or the next time you look in the mirror and wonder about the worth of what you see reflected, my charge is that you would hold fast to God's promise that with a little faith, small things can produce a great yield. And that you would hold fast to God's promise that nothing and no one is disposable. And that in time, all things shall be made new. In Jesus' name, amen.